Fresh Perspective features young professionals in the scrap and recycling industry, offering insights from the next generation of industry leaders. Guests share their stories of what led them to the scrap industry and new ideas on industry trends. Tune in to hear stories from scrap processors, traders, operators, and others who are starting to lead in this space. Fresh Perspective is beginning an ongoing dialogue with the future executives of the industry.
Hello and welcome to Fresh Perspective. My name is Tess Kasdan with the Recycling Today Media Group, and joining me on the podcast is Kelly Driscoll of Trax. How are you today, Kelly?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. What a great opportunity.
So first, I just wanted to ask what your journey into the recycling industry looked like. What were you doing before and how did you get here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've actually been with Trax for 7 years, and I started out with our customer service department. So I was learning the ins and outs of the product. So it was a lot of product knowledge. So I was there for about a year, and then I was promoted to sales. So in sales, we have different ways of selling our finished product. And I was in the retail industry. So I was working with our Lowe's and Home Depot in the Virginia, Maryland, and DC area. And I was discussing with contractors and homeowners about the product and, you know, what suits them for decking and railing. And then, so I was there for about 3.5 years. And then this opportunity on our recycling team came, and I thought, why not try something new? I was kind of already in different segments of the company. So it was a growth opportunity. So I joined the recycling team, and I've always loved sales. So it was kind of a different transition, but I am still selling in a way because I'm selling a recycling program. I'm selling the program that I spearhead. So I'm still getting my sales in, and then also, of course, the recycling industry.
Awesome. And then if you could give me a little bit of background just on yourself, where did you go to school? What did you study? That sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah. So I graduated from American Public University, which is an online school, and I got my bachelor's degree in business management. And then I said, why not? Let's try to shoot for the master's. So I graduated with my master's in business management and a concentration in leadership last year.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, totally. And then can you tell me what your official title is with Trax right now?
So my title is Next Trax Development Representative. And, you know, what is that? So Next Trax Development is a new program. We call it Next Trax Grassroots Movement. And it is a program that is about a little less than three years old. So it's new. And it started with this idea and this vision of how can we collect more film? You know, outside of our normal ways of collecting film, we have, you know, huge commercial accounts. We have about 32,000 grocery store partners. And then we were kind of seeing there's this middleman, right? You're not as large as a commercial account, but you're a little bit bigger than one grocery store. So that's what Next Trax Grassroots is working with municipalities, counties, nonprofits, even universities to help them create their own recycling program. And in essence, you know, we still have our grocery store partners where, you know, people can come in with their bags of bags, drop off their plastic film in the bin in the storefront. But we wanted to take some of that pressure off because, granted, they're grocery stores, they're not recyclers. So we wanted to give communities and residents and small businesses another outlet for film drop off. And that's where this Next Trax Grassroots is really important because we work with another type of entity, right? Like municipalities and counties that can now offer a place for people to come drop off their film.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then is this the recycling program that you were saying you spearhead?
Yep. Okay, so perfect. I spearhead this program. And again, it's about 3 years old, but it's so interesting because all accounts are different. You know, whether that's if they need help in logistics wise or just education-wise, everything and every one of them is different, but I have a relationship with each and every one of my accounts, which I love. You know, I still get that relationship feel, and then I'm also doing what I love, which is selling the broker too.
Sure. Can you talk a little bit more maybe about the recycling education tools that come with the grassroots program?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So we have on our website, which is nexttrex.com, we have a list of what is qualified in the recycling bin. So what we want, the dues. So when we say film, we really primarily talk about polyethylene film. Twos and fours, that soft plastic that, you know, could be grocery bags, bread bags, case over wraps, cereal liners, all of that is polyethylene. And, you know, people are like, well, how do I know if it's, you know, acceptable or not, if it's polyethylene or not? Because there's so many different types of plastics out there. And I like to say the rule of thumb is really taking your thumb and stretching it. And if it follows with your thumb, that's majority of the time going to be polyethylene film. So it's a good, you know, education way, especially residents that have, you know, I mean, if you think about it, a family of four, they go through a ton of plastic, whether that's toilet paper, over wrap, paper towels. And it's just a really great way to help them know, okay, what can I put in this bin and what can I?
So I know you said that this was a newer role for you. You had traditionally been in sales, but now that you're in this position with the company, what does a day in your life look like? A typical one, if you had to give me a rundown.
Yeah, I mean, typical, there's every day is different, right? Mm-hmm. And which I love. I love that every day is different because it's engaging with my current active accounts. So those municipalities and counties and answering questions when they're, you know, because what they have to do is they have to collect the film, and then they're also responsible for baling it and storing it. And a lot of these new accounts don't have that experience of baling. So that's, you know, I have to talk them through that and answer any questions when it arises, when they are baling. So that's typical for a day. And then also just, you know, meeting with potential accounts that are interested. You know, we have leads that come in throughout our website. They contact our support on our website, and they send it to me, and I schedule, you know, a meeting, and I ask them questions like, you know, how much volume do you think you could have? What could we do to help you get there? And, you know, it's, again, the biggest hurdle for this program is the logistics. Because, yes, everyone can collect film, but baling and storing is a whole nother level of a program. So, you know, we help alleviate those obstacles by, you know, do we need to purchase them a baler? We can purchase you a baler. Or do we need to get you a storage container so that you can store your bales? So there's so many different ways of doing the program. But again, day to day, it's just building those relationships, current and potential, and then just continuous education. I mean, that's the biggest thing is education on my side of the business, is just making sure that people are aware that we are a user of this. We're a domestic company, so where everything comes in the United States, whether that's Winchester, Virginia, that's one of our plants, or Fernley, Nevada, that's another one of our plants. And we use 100% of our stream. We don't landfill it. We don't ship it overseas. Everything is staying at Trex, and we need the raw material to create our deck boards.
So you guys are essentially, you know, doing all the problem solving then for the municipalities and the different accounts that you manage, just to ensure that they have a way to not only collect, but also do away with the plastic film rather than landfill it.
Yep.
And then, so, I mean, I know you said there are a lot of logistical hurdles or challenges, but maybe on like a personal level, what would you say have been some of the challenges that you've faced as you've entered into this role with Trex and within your career as a whole?
Sure. I think one of the things is the misunderstanding of plastic. Plastic is a hard to recycle item. Everyone knows that, but it's the, you know, again, we are a company that needs the plastic. So just that continuous support and letting them know we can help you and we can take this film. And another challenge that I have faced within the last, you know, almost 3 years is some states have bag bans. When I say bag bans, it's grocery bags. They're using, you know, now a recyclable bag. For example, New Jersey, they have a bag ban on their grocery bags. So people have that question, well, you know, how are you going to get your film? Because grocery bags are a large piece of it. Yes, they're a large piece, but if you think about it, that gives us an area of an opportunity for more education. Plastic is not going anywhere. Yes, grocery bags may be banned, but you still have those cereal liners, bread bags, Ziploc bags, Amazon packages. None of that is going anywhere. So it gives us that opportunity to educate more. So I think that was definitely a challenge, but when they hear about the other options for plastic film, it eases their mind. They're like, okay, you're right. I do have all these other things in my house. It's not just grocery bags. So yeah. Another way to educate.
For sure. Yeah. Grocery bags are not the end all be all of the plastic film that exists. I do think that there is this larger picture of it just being about grocery bags, but like you said, plastic film is everywhere. And then it's on the industrial side too.
Right. And I also think like finding that right person to talk to, like the champion of recycling. You know, there are so many people in, you know, municipalities or counties or nonprofits that want to do something in a recycling effort, but just finding that right person that knows, you know, okay, yes, maybe we can't do grocery bags, but we can do all the other aspects of the film.
Right. In the last answer, you mentioned something about your own continuous education. What types of continuous education are we talking?
Yeah, so videos. We love sending videos. We have, you know, great videos on our website. I do a lot of meetings that are with either, you know, counties or city council to help them understand, again, the plastic, the program in general. Also, I'm attending a lot of conferences throughout the United States, and that is a huge way to explain our program and educate as well. And if I can get a speaking opportunity at the conferences, which I've had several in the past couple of years, that's, you know, that arises so many questions, and then it's so interactive with me and the audience that, you know, I can help them answer any questions that they have or, you know, that I didn't even think of answer or talking about in the presentation. So that's the type of education that I've been really hands-on with throughout the past couple of years.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have a specific conference that you've spoken at in the last couple of years that stands out to you?
Last year, I was asked to speak at Recycle Florida Today. So it's called RFT, and it's municipalities and counties that attend this conference. And I believe it's about, you know, 250 to 300 people, if I remember correctly. But I was on a panel with three other people from different industries, not on the plastic film side. So, you know, I spoke about the program and the success of the program and what we can do to help them get started. So that was definitely one that was exciting because, again, we're my territory is the entire United States. And so if I can get a statewide conference like Florida, that's just a great way to, you know, get our foot in the door.
Yeah, that's awesome. What would you say are some of the other things that you're proud of that you've accomplished within your career?
So, well, definitely within this role, the recycling role, is how we started with an idea. Okay, so this never happened. We've never worked with municipalities, counties, and nonprofits. So it started with this idea that I kind of had to build, right, with support from my colleagues. And, you know, we had zero accounts. And year to date, we're over 60 accounts throughout the United States. So that is really what I'm most proud of because, again, it's hard to get something started, right? But once you have that first initial account, it's kind of, you know, the dominoes all fall because you can always support what you're saying by explaining, hey, you know, this account, this municipality, here are their best practices and they're doing it. So you can do it. And it doesn't matter the size of the municipality, the size of the county. It's just the involvement that the residents, you know, have. It's the motivation that they have and the proper education that they have. So that's definitely the thing that I'm most proud of within this role.
Speaking of, I mean, kind of getting the program off the ground, what went into building it up into what it is today?
It really just, because we have this the same type of structure with our commercial accounts and grocery stores, you know, you collect, you bail, and you store. I think the biggest advantage with our NextTrex accounts is that we have, you know, the opportunity to help them get a bailer. We'll purchase the bailer for you. Because how this happens is we'll purchase a bailer, and once we pick up the film from them, it goes towards the payoff of the bailer, because we are rebating this account, you know, a price per pound. So if they don't have a bailer and we'll purchase it for you, you have that now machinery to bail your plastic, that rebate goes towards the payoff of the bailer. So we can do that. Or storage containers, we'll purchase a storage container, you know, for free, and they can put their plastic film in there. So that's really the difference between the large commercial accounts and grocery stores, is we have more wiggle room to make it successful. And again, we want it to be successful because these are new entities that are not familiar with doing all of this.
So then, do you have any upcoming projects that you're excited about that you can talk about right now?
Yeah, so I have an account. I won't say their name, but I have an account that has been a partner with us for a little over a year. And they have, so partner meaning giving us their film, and now they are looking to remodel their boardwalk. And because of the partnership that I have with them on the recycling side, they want to use Trex. So that, you know, I think that is a huge project because, I mean, A, it's boardwalk, so there's a lot of product going into it, but it's also that circularity of recycling to the end product. You're seeing, the residents are seeing their efforts by going on a boardwalk and be like, oh, this is what it's made out of. So that's really exciting. And I love that we can take a NextTrex account, recycler account, and turn them into a Trex customer. That's a huge advantage for us. And then also another is, I talked about nonprofits, right? So accounts like, so I had my first food bank become a partner with us, and they're located in Wisconsin. And that just honestly makes my heart so happy because they're already donating and helping the community. So we can help them now by taking their plastic and paying them so that they can enhance their food bank and in their community involvement. So that's another project that I was excited about. So this year, my first food bank was active, which I was pretty pumped about.
That is really exciting. I mean, I know you said it's your first food bank. Is it common that other representatives will have food banks as accounts?
So I think, you know, food banks are hard just because of the infrastructure they have. They don't necessarily have so much room for a bailer and storage. But, you know, this food bank said, you know, we're willing to make it work. And I've talked to many throughout the last few years. And I guess this is the one that, you know, Start said, let's just do it, rip the Band-Aid off and do it. So, again, this is a great way for me to say, hey, this food bank in Wisconsin is doing it. Let's talk to them and hear their best practices, because now maybe you can go to that next level as well. So food banks are not, I wouldn't say they're uncommon. It's just, again, it's hard to get the right infrastructure, I should say.
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. Switching gears a little bit, I wanted to ask you, as somebody who is in the plastic film recycling space, what issues or challenges do you see impacting the industry today and why? And maybe specifically on the plastic recycling end.
Yep. Yeah, great question. So I really think, so articles that are posted, there can be some misinformation when articles are posted, and that creates doubt, and that creates suspicious people that are out there that are like, well, I'm collecting this and now I don't know where it's going. So that can be a hurdle for the plastic industry in general, not just for Trex, but it definitely can be a hurdle for Trex, because we want to continue that conversation and that reiteration that we are using this product. We're not taking this product and selling it off somewhere else, because that's how we create our boards. No plastic, no boards. So that's definitely been a challenge, I think, in this industry. And like I said before, the misinformation of plastic, because there's so many different types of plastic, people may be like, oh, there's too many types, I'm just not even going to think about it. That's not ideal, right? I mean, to give you perspective, in 2022, because we don't have our ESG report out right now for 23, but it's out in 2022, we upcycled 337 million pounds of polyethylene film. So I wanted to give you a visualization of how much that really is. So visualize the Statue of Liberty. Okay, Statue of Liberty weighs 310,000 pounds. So the amount of plastic we upcycled in 2022 equals 1,087 Statues of Liberty. So it's, you know, it's just a fun fact, because people are like, oh yeah, that's a lot of film. It's a ton of film, you know, and we're growing as a company, demands high. We're building our third plant in Little Rock, Arkansas. So we're going to need more film. We're going to need to double that, you know, within the next few years. So it's just, you know, a fun little fact to show them this is what we're collecting, and then this is what we're using to create the boards.
I know that, I mean, Trex is involved in community education programs to kind of get the word out there that there is an outlet for plastic film. It does exist. But you mentioned the negative perception that a lot of people have about plastics. What do you think needs to be done to kind of curb that?
I think just showing the success of what these types of accounts can do, starting from not doing anything at all and sending, or us picking up their film, you know, monthly, every 6 months or a year. So really emphasizing the success that these accounts have had, and whether that's us helping with marketing and PR, we are more than happy to do that as well, just to set them up for success and set them up for a bigger audience that people, you know, some people aren't aware that this program's going on. So I don't know if that answered your question, but it's again, that sharing successes of our Nextrex grassroots, sharing those successes and making people kind of open an eye and say, okay, well, if they do it, maybe we can do it. And just starting the conversation. It doesn't have to happen, you know, in a week or a month. It's just the start of the conversation, because then you know someone's interested in it and motivated to at least do something about it.
So then what are some new technologies or equipment or, you know, trends that you sort of see emerging in the plastic recycling space that you want to see the industry embrace more?
Again, I know I sound like a reiteration person, but education is really a huge piece of the new, like, technology is proper education. And, you know, even explaining that we have the do's and we have the don'ts. You know, we have that PDF that we have online, the don'ts PDF is really helpful, because it's like, oh, okay, it can't crinkle, it can't rip. You know, and it helps them visualize, okay, that gives me a better understanding. And then also, you know, we're an industry leader in the essence of being the number one composite decking company in the world. And so just staying on top of that, and how can we elevate? How can we do more? And I think this program and offering balers and storage containers is a great way to, you know, level up this collection program that they haven't been used to before.
On a similar note, where do you see the industry headed within the next 5 or so years?
So I think the future is hopeful. I really do. I think if we can get positive media coverage, more positive media coverage, and highlight the great successes of what we're doing with this plastic, instead of reading a false narrative, I think that's really going to help the future evolve and get better. And then I also think, you know, in 2022, there was about 64 billion pounds of plastic film landfilled. That's a obviously 64 billion pounds. And we're that small, you know, in 2022, we did 337 million. There's so much more to catch, so much more film to capture. So, you know, I think if we continue this effort of reaching these unique entities and helping them get started, we can capture some of that film. I mean, 64 billion is a lot. So we're not going to be able to capture everything, but we can at least be a little slice of that pie and, you know, make sure that that part is not landfilled.
And then on a personal note, what would you say are your goals for the next 5 years professionally?
I know so much about the plastic film industry of recycling. I think just wanting to learn more about the other recycling entities that are out there. Because when I go to these conferences and have conversations, you know, metal recycling or something like that, I want to know more. Like I'm, you know, like writing stuff down because I'm so interested, even though it's completely different from my field, it's still really important for me to know the other aspects of recycling, right? And then a professional goal is keep these Nextrex accounts growing so that there are more homes for residents and the community to drop off their film, because the last thing we want is they collect all this film and then be turned away. And what are they supposed to do with that now? So that, you know, that's what we want to make sure doesn't happen. So having all these outlets to support the plastic film drop off would be, you know, is going to be ideal for Trex and for them as well.
Absolutely. And then I always like to ask this as kind of a last question. This is Fresh Perspective. So what are ways that you think the industry can help to recruit more young professionals? I feel like a lot of people who maybe are graduating college aren't necessarily aware of all the opportunities that exist within the recycling industry when they are applying for jobs and looking into what their future career is going to be. So do you have any ideas in that sense?
Yeah, absolutely. First I want to say podcasts like this, I think this really is helpful for the younger generation and young professionals to be aware of different perspectives. I mean, before we had this podcast, I was listening to a few that you've already aired, and I just, you know, it's a great way for me to understand what people are doing and again, educate myself. So that's, I think podcasts like this are great. And then also really just getting the attention from the younger generation. And what I mean by that is even starting at, you know, elementary school, middle school. And we do that, you know, we have programs where we work with the schools, and you can, again, find this on our website, but they have 12 months to collect, or in this case, their school year months, to collect 1,000 pounds, and they log it in, and then we give them a bench. So they see their efforts, you know, the collection of film, and then they get 1,000 pounds, and then we'll send them a Trex bench. So that is really, you know, I think that having that school involvement is super critical, because I know, like, my parents' generation, recycling was not nearly as, you know, emphasized as it is today. My generation and younger generations have this opportunity where schools are teaching people how to recycle, the importance of being green. So I think those are, you know, the two biggest things for me personally that I think young professionals will see the just everyone coming together and making the world a better place.
For sure. Well, that was awesome. Thank you so much. Do you have anything else you want to add? Anything you feel like is important that we didn't cover?
I know I said the fact about in 2022, but just in the, we've been, so Trex has been about over 30 years creating composite decking. And over that 30 years, we've upcycled in excess of 5 billion pounds of polyethylene film. So that is just, I mean, that makes me happy to see that, you know, we're capturing a large amount of film. And, you know, we, again, it's been over 30 years we've been a company for, and we'll always need plastic to make our boards. So we're going to be on the hunt for all the plastic we can find, the polyethylene film we can find. So
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. This was really great.
Thank you so much for having me.